This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. I have a very special guest for you today. Yonkers native Maxwell Pierce, known as Hops Pierce when he's playing for the Harlem Globetrotters. But he's also an award-winning mixed media artist, Globetrotter artist, and goodwill ambassador who challenges how we perceive humanity in and out of sports. Maxwell Pierce, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Jam.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You have several chances, by the way, to see Hops Pierce in action with the Globetrotters coming up on February 22nd. He'll be at the famous arena, Madison Square Garden in New York City. Then on February 28th, he'll be at the Cure Insurance Arena in Trenton, and then at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia on March 2nd. So with a nickname like Hops, we know you can get off the floor, and you've always been known for your 48-inch vertical jump. It's what opened everybody's eyes, wasn't it? First of all, it started with the 2018 Dark Horse Dunk Competition during the Final Four weekend.
That's right.
Right? And then it was the NCAA College Slam Dunk Competition where you represented your school, Purchase College, and you did the one-handed self alley-oop slam dunk while filming yourself with your cell phone.
We may see Max take a picture of himself while he's going to dunk the basketball. Yeah,
look at that left hand right there. What are you going to do, Max?
This could be big.
What's he doing?
Oh, no.
Yes! And he's still with the camera.
Oh, my goodness. The showmanship.
Jay Will, that's what you've been asking for.
I've tried to create that as a signature of mine. I've seen other people do it, but I can genuinely say that was an original idea that I had when I was preparing for that dunk contest. So my family brings it up a lot. My friends bring it up a lot. I haven't run into as many Globetrotter fans that are aware of it, but that's okay.
There's so many interesting parts to your story, and we're going to get to all of them here. But you grew up idolizing NBA greats like Vince Carter and Nate Robinson, who could really dunk the basketball. And Nate was a little guy, right? And as a kid, you were watching videos of Vince's slam dunks on the internet and then going outside and attempting them yourself. But you're the first NCAA Division III basketball player to be fully featured in two video games, NBA 2K and NBA Live. It came full circle for you, didn't it?
It really did. And to stay on theme with that full circle essence, when I was in the college slam dunk contest, Nate Robinson ended up being one of the judges for that dunk. So it was really cool to have, you know, him as such a big inspiration when I was a kid and be one of the two reasons why I dunked the basketball to being in the biggest dunk contest that I've ever been in my entire career. And he was a judge for it. And he was, you know, he was loving it. So it was amazing for me.
I remember that dunk competition when he was the judge. So you are amazing. And you caught the eyes of Harlem Globetrotters, right? You're playing with this world famous team. Coming up next year, we'll be celebrating 100 years of existence. How much pride do you take in to be a part of the legacy of the Harlem Globetrotters?
Yeah, it means a lot because the Globetrotters are responsible for so many important advancements within the game of basketball. You know, we're responsible for integrating the NBA in 1951. We had the first woman to play on a professional basketball team in 1985, which was Lynette Woodard. You know, there's been a lot of really important things that we have done throughout, you know, the advancement of the game. And then on a more consistent level, we've, you know, wherever we play, we're able to produce a smile and a laugh on the people that are watching us, whether we speak the same language or not, which is really cool.
It's also very important to Hops Pierce, kids and right. getting through to them, whether it be through your art, whether it be through your basketball. Does that come from family, that desire to help kids?
Absolutely. And I think it's a two-part thing for me. One, it definitely comes from family. I'm the oldest of three kids, and we're all very close. So we've all poured into each other's growth and journey as, you know, humans. But when I was a kid, I was extremely shy. And I can remember looking up to, older or professional athletes and having so many questions, but I was too shy to ask those questions. And so I'm sure that there are kids out there that look up to the Globetrotters and have questions, but may or may not be comfortable asking the questions, and but they still need that encouragement. So, it means a lot that I'm able to do that through the Globetrotters.
Saw the Globetrotters last year. You guys are performing in New Jersey, but I mentioned you have, three local chances to see them in action. It's that response that you get from kids, right? That really propel all of
For
you to
sure.
have so much fun.
Yeah, it's like to me, it's the most rewarding part of being a Globetrotter. It's the ability to impact the next generation, and nothing feels better than being able to put a smile on somebody else's face.
One of the things I always like to do when I go see the Globetrotters is immediately, if I haven't seen a certain player, I immediately look up, where did she or he go to school? Because I gotta see them in action, on the courts. Take us back to Purchase. Did you have any idea that this would eventually be your career as far as playing this sport throughout, throughout the good part of your life?
Not really. I mean, like I can distinctly remember in Purchase is when I started to get a lot more creative with dunking the basketball, and I definitely had a passion for sharing those dunks on social media. So those started to circulate a little bit, but I didn't think that I would be tr literally traveling the world, continuing to play the sport 7 years after graduating from college.
I remember when I played high school basketball, we all wanted to dunk the basketball. And I was not very good at jumping like you, Maxwell. So I barely could do it, right? Where did the hops come into play? How much work did you put in? How much God-given ability is that to be able to jump like you can?
To be very honest, I think it's a good mixture of both. First, I think I was given a passion and a fixation with dunking the basketball, and that was enough to get me to put in a lot of work to, increase my vertical. I think that work was accelerated by the gift of being able to, jump pretty high, but I was always a really short and skinny kid. And so for, all of my middle school career, I always felt like less than because a lot of my teammates were bigger, faster, stronger. And I wasn't able to play above the rim at that time. So to now have that above the rim element to my game, even though most of the, players that I play against are still bigger, faster, stronger, it definitely it's gratifying for sure.
You're just 6 foot tall. It's not like,
Right.
when they hear the a master dunker these days, we think of 6'7", 6'8", people just flying down, but you have given us all hope, even at my age, that maybe if I worked out, nah, I still couldn't do it, Maxwell. I still wouldn't be able to do it very well. Before we get into so many different aspects of your life, let's talk about who's on the Globetrotters right now that you are especially close to and have established a great rapport with.
So, Buckets, he's instantly the first name that comes to mind because we're from the same county. We were actually pitted as rivals before we met each other. So he lived in a nearby town. He jumped really high, and I lived in a nearby town, and I jumped really high. And so everybody used to say, like, his actual name is Jason. Everybody used to say, Max, do you think you jump higher than Jason? And I'm like, I don't know Jason. I've never met Jason. I can't say whether I do or don't. And they would do the same thing to him for me. So when we finally met each other, it was kind of this shared feeling of like, I don't know why everybody is trying to compare us, but you're actually pretty cool. So we became really good friends, and I got to the Globetrotters before he did, and I made the recommendation, and from there they loved him, and now he's in his third or fourth year or something like that.
The tradition of the Harlem Globetrotters goes back to Geese Osby and Meadowlark Lemon and Curly Neal. And how much video did you watch of them before you became an official member of the Globetrotters?
So I was pretty aware of the Globetrotters already because, like shows like Scooby-Doo.
Night, Bobby Joe, Gip, Pab, Meadowlark, and Curly.
Night, Pab, Curly, Geese, Meadowlark, and...
Knock it off, fellas. One big good night all is enough.
Good night all.
Gilligan's Island. There was a lot of references. And actually, my grandmother bought me a Meadowlark Lemon jersey when I was 9 years old.
Wow.
And I have the photo of that. So, to kind of have that knowledge at that age, and then to have it come full circle, and I have my own jersey is so fun.
That's amazing. I know your grandmother is so special to you, and she
Yes,
is
she
still
is.
with us in her 90s. She has inspired so many things about you, including your artwork. So let's get into this wonderful artwork that you have displayed. It's not all about basketball, it's about culture, it's about connections. And tell us how this all started and how your grandmother plays such a huge role in this.
I want to say I started creating artwork in about the third grade, and for a while it took a back seat to sports. My parents put me in a lot of sports. I played a little bit of tennis. I played basketball, obviously. I played baseball, football, and I ran cross country. So between practice for those sports and then making sure I take care of my schoolwork, it was always really challenging to give the time that I wanted to art. My grandmother's influence comes in because at one point I was a terrible student academically, not behaviorally, because I was always really shy, but I just didn't see the value in applying myself when I was in middle school. And my grandmother is a former educator for like 40 years or so. So, I've been really lucky to have her as a resource, and she lived across the street from me. So she spent probably 7 consecutive years doing my homework with me every single day. And so she's, largely responsible for my transformation as a student. And so, I feel like anybody who's, loving and caring in that way to help you consistently every day for a several year span to see you through to a much better place is somebody that's going to have a really strong impact. So that's kind of how the passion for art and my love for my grandmother got intertwined.
Now comes this great ability to take two of your passions and put them together. And you've been able to do that because within your art, you use shoelaces and sporting equipment to create masterpieces. Well, that just popped into your head one day. I'm a basketball player. Why not? Or how did that come about?
I think I've always been a really creative person. I think the passion for dunking the basketball is what's kind of the first telling thing in that regard for me. Like I always enjoyed the creativity that Vince Carter and Nate Robinson had when they dunked. So it wasn't a surprise to me that I loved art because it allowed me to express myself and be as creative as I wanted to. But as I grew older and I experienced, more life as an athlete of color, I was really like trying to use sports as a way to combat a lot of the stigmas that come with it. And one of the most popular stigmas is that athletes are one-dimensional and we're not capable of anything else outside of our sport. So as an athlete who is multidimensional, like most other athletes, I was like, I would love to combine my passion for the arts with my passion for sports to remind the viewers of my art that this was created by a multidimensional athlete.
Is there any jazz playing in the background? We're a jazz station. Maxwell, is there any jazz playing on the background when you're creating art?
Sometimes jazz is, one of the scientifically, it's like one of the best genres of music that you can play when you're creating.
The timing of this Sports Jam interview with you is incredible because yesterday I interviewed Bernie Williams, who not only is one of the great Yankee greats, but just like you were talking about, athletes aren't just in their sport. They are people, they are creative artists, and his jazz guitar playing won him a Latin Grammy. This was the second time he'd been on the show, and he is just so lovely to talk to, just like you. You know, so creative, so thirsting for knowledge and to get better. And I know that's what you're about too. And when you're creating art, I want to know what sparks an idea in your head. How does that germinate?
So before I answer that question, I just think it's so funny that you brought up Bernie Williams because my mom, she did some singing when she was in her younger days, and she sang with Bernie probably 8 or 9 times, so they know each other, which is just so funny.
Wow. and give us mom's so name crazy. so people can look her up.
Gina Billups.
There you go,
with a J. But to answer your question about where the ideas come from, I'm constantly thinking of, you know, like ideas for art. As I am constantly thinking about basketball, I think when you have a passion that is as deep as these two are for me, it's very hard to not think about them on a daily basis. And because I'm giving that amount of thought to them, it's very easy for, you know, me to come up with new ideas about how I want to present an image or deliver a message through the art.
Speaking of delivering messages, you had an incident that happened, inexplicable incident that happened during a live TV interview in Alabama back in 2020. There were a couple of news anchors who threw fruit at you, including a banana, while you were demonstrating some skills. The station eventually offered an apology after this incident that I know took you by surprise. And here's the even more troublesome part of this. After speaking out, you received backlash ranging from shut up and dribble to death threats. Oh, take us back to that moment, and how ridiculous was that?
Yeah, it was a really awful experience. I think what I learned most from that is that the most powerful thing that you can do is respond rather than react. Response is calculated, it's intentional, it's deliberate, but a reaction is instinctive, and it's not as well thought out. So when I went through that experience, all I could think about was respond, don't necessarily just react. And my response to that was to create a collection of art that highlights other athletes who use their platform to speak out against injustice. And that was essentially the birth of my professional art career. So, you know, I'm definitely, I want to encourage everyone to be a lot more mindful of, you know, microaggressions and, you know, I don't think anybody should be throwing any items at people, especially unknowingly. But I definitely did learn a lot from that experience, and that, you know, racism is still very much alive and well. And more so from, you know, the people that I got the backlash and the death threats from, as racist of a history that there is behind this act, I cannot confidently say that the anchors threw the fruit with racism as its primary intention. Maybe it was out of ignorance. I don't know.
But they threw fruit at the wrong guy, didn't they?
Right. Yep.
You know, you knew how to take care of that, and I congratulate you on handling it in such a great way. You're a goodwill ambassador, as well as, you know, through the Globetrotters, going around the world and teaching kids how to respond, how to have fun. But I like how you said it earlier. You were shy when you were growing up, and to be able to talk to somebody, you're bridging that gap. You're breaking down that barrier for young kids to say, "Hey, Hops, how are you?" And you come over and you interact, and right. it's a moment they'll never forget and could change their life.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. You know, I think my personal journey as a super shy kid to now being somebody who's comfortable speaking on camera, being on TV, being in front of thousands of people that I don't know, it's a testament to, you know, my journey to kind of break that shell that I had. And so, you know, if I can personally go through that firsthand and overcome that firsthand, then I know somebody else can. And I know what it takes. So, yeah, I know that, you know, I am in the position to help them break that shell.
You might not have been a good student in middle school, but you learned from your family that education was important, and you became on the dean's list at school. You became a yep. scholar athlete. So what do you talk about with grandma now?
These days, I'm getting married in May. So
congratulations.
You know, thank you. She's, you know, we're talking about that a lot. And I've become the family historian that she still is. But I've definitely taken that from her, that skill from her. So I'm just trying to soak up as much knowledge and family history and stories and wisdom from her that I can while she's still here.
And who's the lucky individual that will be sharing their life with you?
Her name is Jasmine Stiles. She's from Orlando, Florida. So ironically, we met because of that horrific banana interview experience. Really? So Jasmine is a news anchor. She was anchoring in Tampa, Florida at the time. And when this story about the, you know, the fruit throwing incident started to circulate, it was shared by one of her friends who is a reporter, and she happened to see it. And so she reached out to me basically, you know, saying that she's sorry that this happened to me and offered her help to get the story to additional outlets to, you know, spread this important message with people. And so that is quite literally how we got connected. It was through that traumatic incident. So our union was born through, you know, some form of trauma, and it kind of speaks to the resilience of Black love, which I love.
That, I guess that incident may have had to happen for you, Maxwell, if you think yeah. about it, right?
Yeah.
The people, you know, people say that's, it's a cliche, right? Things happen for a reason, but in your yep. case, your art and your partner came about as a result of just a horrific event in your life. And has led you to a great, great path. Hey, I have a project for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Bernie Williams plays guitar to videos of you dunking the basketball.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be cool.
I think you might have to get a hold of Bernie and, yep. and talk to him, especially,
and make that collaboration
especially with mom singing with him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe she's singing as you're dunking.
Right. Right.
It could be. I think
that would be really cool.
Unbelievable. Before we let you go here on Sports Jam, and there's a couple more things that, you know, that I wanted to talk to you about. And first of all, I wanted to run down 2018 ESPN College Slam Dunk Championship semifinalist, 2020 ESPYs honorable nominee, Can't Stop Watching Moment of the Year. I already mentioned you're the first NCAA Division III basketball player to be fully featured in two video games, NBA 2K and NBA Live, and 2021 Tuckahoe High School Basketball Hall of Fame inductee. That HOF nomination there and Hall of Fame, how much did that mean for you?
That means so much because I'm, you know, although I wasn't born in Tuckahoe, I grew up in Tuckahoe. I gave 25 years of my life in Tuckahoe. So Tuckahoe is responsible for so much of the transformation that I've had. And a lot of the people who are really close to me are from Tuckahoe. And it means a lot to me to be able to carry Tuckahoe with me wherever I am in the world, you know, playing basketball or showing artwork.
So coming up, you have a chance again to see this incredible individual that we've had here on Sports Gen. Yeah, it goes way beyond sports for Maxwell Pierce. You can see Hops Pierce when he performs at Madison Square Garden in New York City on February 22nd, at the Cure Insurance Arena in Trenton on February 28th, or at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia on March 2nd. So last question I have for you. At the reception, is Sweet Georgia Brown going to be played?
I'm sure somebody in the families will be whistling it. I'm sure I'll hear it. I'm sure.
Maxwell Pierce, you are That's delightful. Funny. Thanks for bringing not only your talent on the court, but your talent as art and the person that you are. You are the trifecta. Thanks, right? You are the real deal. And we appreciate you being here on Sports Gen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by simply going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also hear Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out to Joe Favorito for hooking us up with the delightful Maxwell Pierce. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.